Every entrepreneur has been there. Growing pains obstacles make you growth stronger. Gains.
It's the challenges that cause us to level up.
I'm your host, Alicia Dominico.
We're especially good at taking data from all of the different systems and visualizing that almost in a simpler way in order to give you that glance at your business or that set of dashboards that you can look at in the first 5 to 10 minutes of your management team meeting to make sure that you're on track for the week or the month or the quarter.
If you tuned in to our last episode, you already know Pete Caputa. He brought us behind the curtain on HubSpot's hugely successful agency partner program and shared lessons on how companies in any industry leverage partnerships to build their business. We didn't have time to discuss his latest venture on that last episode. His latest venture is Databox. So we're dropping another Pete Caputa episode. This time we're talking data. More specifically, the kind of data you want from HubSpot but can't always get. That's where Databox comes in. It's an add-on that services and amplifies HubSpot reporting. Maybe you've cleaned up your CRM, check out episode 4 with Vicki Merritt for more on that, and found you're still not getting the answers you want from within inside of HubSpot. The limitations on HubSpot are that you can usually only compare 2 or max 3 data points, so everything comes in at an X and Y axis with HubSpot. It's not that the data is not there, it's just that you can't display it in the way that you necessarily want. Maybe you've been frustrated by HubSpot's cap of 20 reports per dashboard and what kind of planning that takes about setting up dashboards around efforts. Yeah, lots of people have felt this way. So Databox doesn't just give you more flexibility in your dashboards, it helps you to tell better stories with your data. We'll get into that later. First, I wanted to understand what inspired Pete to join this company.
I decided to leave HubSpot in 2016. I am just really passionate about helping agencies, and I wanted to build a business where the product strategy and the marketing strategy were really aligned to helping agencies. So that's my passion. And I knew that that wasn't good. At that point, I knew that that wasn't going to happen anymore the way I wanted to do it at HubSpot. And arguably, their decision was the right one. So I'm not trying to claim that I knew anything better or anything. Just I didn't feel passionate about it myself.
No, I mean, I think that's fair. HubSpot was like, how do we get HubSpot in more companies, right? Like their focus is there, and that's why they've had amazing growth.
Yeah. Halligan always had massive ambitions to, you know, to build the front office software for the SMB market, and now they're going upstream and doing it even in larger organizations. And so that was his mission, and he was passionate about that. And I was passionate about that for a long time. I was there for 9 years. And so I started thinking about what did I want to build next, and I had some ideas. I started meeting with some investors. This is while I was still at HubSpot for a little bit. I basically just wrote on the blog for a year. I wrote on the sales blog. And so I had some time to think about things and network a little bit, and ended up meeting with this investor. And he said, hey, you got to meet Davrin Gebrevich, who's one of the co-founders of Databox. And I'm like, I don't want to join a company. Like, I'm looking to lead my own thing. I have my own vision, blah, blah, blah. I reluctantly met with him and ended up like 6 months later joining Databox. And what happened is Davrin and I just really clicked. We compliment each other. You know, we don't always agree on everything, but compliment each other really well. And I got to go with the product team. There was only 12 people at the time. They had actually raised $3.8 million in revenue. Their first year in the business, they booked $500,000 worth of business from 5 enterprise clients, including like Bose speakers and Converse and Staples, the office store, et cetera. And so they were crushing it. They raised that $3.8 million and then were unable to really sell what they had built to anyone else, maybe one or two more. But
so you're talking about it was a custom kind of software for these premium clients.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that time period. It was like 2012-13. Everyone thought that like we were gonna stop using computers and use mobile for everything. Turned out obviously mobile is important, and on the consumer side we use mobile for a lot of things, but on business we're still sitting in front of screens. Mm-hmm. And so it just didn't sell at the way that that did in the beginning. And so they had pivoted, they had cut their team way back, cut their expenses way back, pivoted more towards the self-service model and SMB, and started building integrations with marketing tools. And so it kind of just checked a lot of my boxes. I started to get to know the team a little bit, and started getting, you know, sharing the product with some agencies that I know. And they're all like, this really solves a problem. We have a real problem with this. We're spending a lot of time on reporting. This looks have the potential of helping. And so that's when I kind of made the decision, all right, I'm going to jump in and join this company. And so that was 2017. You know, since then, we're now 20, a little over 2,600 customers. We're a little under $6 million in annual revenue. I did raise $1 million when I joined. A lot of the HubSpot execs invested, the former investors put more money in. But for the last 3 years, we've been cash flow positive and growing about 50% year over year. And so been having fun.
I think there's a really interesting thing that you just said there, though, because the promise of HubSpot is like, you know, they sold HubSpot for a long time about get up in the morning, drink your coffee and check your dashboard. And we do a lot of HubSpot for a lot of different companies and a lot of different industries. And almost nobody has a dashboard like that with HubSpot that I can think of, that there's just one dashboard that is the health of your business. I'm going to say it publicly. Right. I just think that that is actually really a lot harder to get. And you and I have talked about this book, Gino Wickman's.
Yeah, big fan of Traction.
Yes. Right. Yep. And third step, or the third piece of that pie that he builds, is data, and knowing that you have a weekly scorecard and that everybody is inputting data into that scorecard, and you can really see the health of your business. So why don't you talk about how Databox is going to solve that problem?
Thanks. I guess I should talk about the actual thing we do. So you hit the nail on the head. I'm a big fan of the Entrepreneur Operating System, or EOS, and the book they published, Traction. Gina Wickman published Traction to kind of introduce the concepts of EOS to the masses. And so big fan of that. We have kind of developed our own process that we advocate, called predictable performance. I think with EOS, it's built kind of for an analog world in some degree, right? They literally advocate for you to like go into a spreadsheet and have people share their performance every month. And I get why they do that. It breeds accountability, but I think there are other ways to breed accountability without creating busy work. And I also think you should be tracking way more than a handful of metrics for your business in order to be able to make sure that issues aren't occurring, people aren't slacking, systems aren't breaking, ads aren't running crazy, off budget, et cetera. And so, we advocate, of course, for having that dashboard that you're talking about, which is that one dashboard that gives you the high level overview of your business. But we also advocate for having drill downs on each of those metrics to really understand why is that metric moving in that direction or not moving in that direction, and what are the components of that? What are the dimensions of those metrics that you should be looking at as well? Such as, if you're getting more sessions to your website, what channel is it producing? What device is it getting? What piece of content is driving it, et cetera? And so we're a big fan of what we call an overview dashboard, which, if you're a B2B business, that might include something like your website traffic, the number of leads you have, the number of, if you're doing outbound, the number of contacts you've reached out, your sales team's reached out to, deals you're created, calls that were booked or conducted, deals that are closed in every stage of the funnel, of course, of customers retained, amount of revenue per client, like all of these metrics you should be tracking at a high level on a very close basis. And then below that, every team should really have their high level metrics as well. So for example, on our sales team, we don't just look at the outreach emails and the deals created and deals closed. We also look at that by sales rep. So I want to see all those metrics by sales rep. I want to see what my close rate is. I want to see what my sales cycle is. I want to make sure that the channels where I'm getting my calls booked are consistent. Like, did for some reason marketing stop booking sales calls for us last week? And what do we do to fix that? And so there's a lot to really drill into, but I think we're especially good at that. I think you're trying to lead the horse to water here. We're especially good at taking data from all of the different systems and visualizing that almost in a simpler way in order to give you that glance at your business or that set of dashboards that you can look at in the first 5 to 10 minutes of your management team meeting to make sure that you're on track for the week or the month or the quarter or whatever you measure by.
And the other thing is that unlike the analog world of someone having to put stuff into a spreadsheet, you're pulling the data that is automatically populating from sources like HubSpot, where you know the emails getting sent and the phone calls getting made are automatically logged through the system. You know, you don't need to actually input more data manually, which is what we're all trying to avoid.
I'm glad you're a DataBox customer and partner, so because you're doing a better job of selling it than I am. But yes, but absolutely. So our strength is that we've built these really deep integrations with a bunch of the most popular software tools. A lot of those happen to be in marketing, but we also cover sales, service, finance departments, development or product teams as well. Yeah, so we've studied those tools. We figure out exactly what analytics are in them, and then we kind of pre-build templates and metrics so that a non-technical user can go in and either select the metric or drag the metric onto a dashboard or just pick a dashboard that we pre-built and instantly see their data in about a minute after connecting via authenticating into the data source, such as
HubSpot. And it's not always just comparing two data points, right? It's not just an X and a Y axis. There's a lot of different ways of pulling multiple data streams to see a bigger picture, I think, with DataBox too.
Yeah, I think there's different ways of visualizing data in DataBox that you don't get in many apps, including HubSpot. One of them is like being able to put together a funnel that includes both your marketing and sales data, right? So in inbound especially, the funnel starts with marketing. And so you'd want to show the number of users or sessions on your website. Then you want to show the conversions. And then you want to show the deals that you created, but you might also want to show the deals that are qualified and the deals that are closed, or an MQL in the middle there. Or you might even have Stripe that you use in your business to capture, to collect payment from people. You might want to include Stripe in there. It really depends on what you want in there. And so you can pick each point of the funnel or pipeline and use a different metric from even from a different tool to visualize it and visualize it all in one pipeline. So that's an example of one thing.
That's a great example because that's what everyone wants to see. It's not just the funnel. It's also the outcome of the funnel, like show me the money from the marketing effort. And you could get to see that bigger, that better funnel with more clearly delineated points that I care about with DataBox. I want to talk about one more thing that is actually my favorite DataBox dashboard, which works really well in a partner reseller program. And I don't know if you remember, but Dan Tyer had you create a DataBox dashboard for agencies. Do you remember this?
Yes, of course. Yes.
And nothing lit a fire under my ass in that dashboard and seeing if I was in the top three.
Now I made the connection. I forgot that you were in that
group.
Talk about course,
that.
I shouldn't have.
How did you do that?
Like,
what happened?
Where's this Alicia person always asking me, why isn't my number on there? I'm like, because you didn't connect your data.
I was like,
and we got on a Zoom, didn't we? We got on a Zoom and I showed you what I needed from you in order to do it.
Okay, yes, so we're going to talk about that. So it's a resale. It was a whole bunch of HubSpot agencies. So we're all reseller partners. And I think we all connected our HubSpot CRMs into a DataBox. So you could take
into
one DataBox account for Dan because he was the lion, what we call the lion leader.
Right.
So everybody connected their own individual CRMs and not in a kind of creepy data way, but just in a way of let's connect our deals, closed one for HubSpot, I think it was, and maybe calls made and meetings.
Yeah, I think so. Dan, it was a sales coaching group. So Dan was encouraging you all to pick up the phone more, send emails more, prospect more, do more calls, and you know, put more deals in your funnel. And so, it was like three or four metrics that kind of demonstrated your sales activities. And then every session that he had, he'd bring that dashboard up. Took me forever to get him to show it live. He was always show a screen grab. but he'd bring that dashboard up and say, you know, and basically compliment the people at the top and then say, hey, the rest of you, is this important to you? What are you going to do about it this week, right? So he was holding you accountable to that. It was very similar to, say, how a sales manager would run a sales meeting, except you're all, you know, independent businesses reselling.
That's an amazing use case for someone who's a manufacturer who's got distributors too. right?
For sure, yeah. So we have some customers that do that. Not a lot, yeah, and so we could do more. One thing we're doing, though, is launching a tool called Benchmark Groups. And what Benchmark Groups will do is allow any business to join a group that of companies like theirs. These groups will be run by individuals, such as, say, a marketing agency, and they'll be niche. So, for example, there might be a group that's run by an agency that services general contractors, residential home builders, and they would only include or invite companies that are general contractors or residential home builders in that group. And it'll be just like we did in Dan's group. It'll be, you know, we won't share the actual data of the other members, but you'll be able to see how you compare, or that company will be able to see how they compare. Yep. And so we're actually building that. We plan to launch that next quarter. And so it would actually enable anybody to go in and see, how should I be performing? What Wow. do my peers perform like? And because we've done the hard work over the last few years of building these deep integrations with 60 plus other popular SaaS tools, we'll be able to do that for literally thousands of metrics. So, for example, you might be able to go in and say, how do I compare to other marketing agencies in my size range that are maybe sell or resell HubSpot? And you'd be able to see, how's your marketing compare? How's your sales compare? How's your finances compare? If you want to connect your QuickBooks, how's your social compare? If you're running ads, how does your ads compare? And really get a complete picture of how you compare to companies like yours, so you can spot, like, hey, we're underperforming here, and maybe we should do something about it. Or we're overperforming here, and maybe we should even lean into it or not worry about it because we're doing so good there. I'm beyond excited. I think it changes the value that DataBox as a company with our product can provide to companies. I think something I learned early on in my sales career is that one of the best values a salesperson can bring is their expertise of helping companies like the one they're talking to. So if you're showing up and you're talking to, I'm just keep using the same example, a pest control company, and you've helped 20 other pest control companies, you can give that owner of that pest control company confidence that what you are recommending will work for them. And that's really hard to do without having 10 or 20 years of work of experience doing one thing, which very few people have. And so I think, to me, you know, maybe we're that experience, I think, will still be very relevant in anyone that's trying to help people. But the data that we're providing, I think, will help a lot more people really understand where they should be and what they should be doing and all that.
Well, and so often you go, like, HubSpot had the ROI calculator for years, and you're like, okay, what are you getting? Monthly visitors, monthly traffic, whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody ever knows the answers to that. I have yet to sell to somebody who knows any of that data.
Right.
So it's
I created that, right?
It's amazing. It's such a good tool, and it did definitely help me sell, but I had to always fudge the numbers and give them an idea of what they're probably
doing. That's the point. The point is that nobody knew, and you were the first person to ask.
They probably
talked to 20 marketing agencies, and no marketing agency ever bothered to ask even. And so by you being the first one to ask and help them think through what those numbers should be, you're separating yourself from the pack, and you're demonstrating your actual interest in helping them.
Yeah.
Benchmarks is
marketing.
Kind of the next level of that.
But to actually show, like, that campaign mic drop moment of the campaign tools and close one money on your marketing.
Right.
I agree. I love that tool. Exactly. I think it's great. I just think it's amazing that we're still struggling to get data in our companies. So it's great to see that companies like DataBox exist, and that you're not only just adding value, you're going to double your value with this benchmarks tool and reasons for why people will need you in terms of what's unique about DataBox. So that's really
so I can
cool.
charge you twice as much.
You
is that what you're saying?
You twice as much. Call me next week. We'll
It'll
discuss.
Actually be free.
but that is, that just when something is for double value and it doesn't cost you any extra to add, like if you were to read a lot of these business books, they'd say, what can you add for free that would really just make you stand out more unique? You know, it really does bring the unique value proposition much to make the sales process much more quick.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to what I told you I'm passionate about, and what, and like it took me 5 years to get to the point where we're building what I want to do. To me, there's, I know there's a 250,000 agencies out there struggling with this problem of showing up to a client and saying, here's what you should be performing. And I know if I can enable even just a few thousand agencies to confidently say, here's the performance you should hit, that those conversations will go a lot smoother, and those collective agencies will help millions of companies improve their performance. And so that's really what I'm excited about.
Predictable performance, a single overview dashboard that actually tells you what you need to know every morning, and the opportunity to drill down on what's actually driving those metrics is what every company wants. And you can get some of that, of course, out of the box with HubSpot. But if it's not displaying that you want the way that you want it to see, or it's not pulling in data from multiple sources, Databox is the option you want. All of that you set up once with Databox, and it's compiled automatically. One of the ways that I've loved Databox in the past is we've had multiple agencies input their deals in their own HubSpot CRM and compete with each other as to who's winning more deals inside of Databox. We had this lovely Databox dashboard that Pete set up for us agencies one time, and week over week, we could always see the results of who was closing deals that was pulling data from multiple HubSpot CRMs. So if you have multiple companies that you're in charge of who all have their own HubSpot portals, Databox is an amazing solution. Or if you're pulling e-commerce data and you're pulling HubSpot data and your stack is a little bit more complicated than the traditional HubSpot setup, Databox is an amazing solution for getting all of those data points to converge. Or if inside of HubSpot you don't really like the display options, Databox gives you different ways to display those options.
More information on Databox, visit databox.com. Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or at anchor.fm/companygrowthpodcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growing pain. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.